So Simon Peter went aboard and hauled the net ashore, full of large fish, 153 of them. And although there were so many, the net was not torn. Out of all the lives, out of all the months and years in the lives of the disciples, these 40 days were perhaps the most memorable. The final week of Jesus, seeing him crucified on that cross and laid in a tomb and raised from the dead, and now appearing to them again and again and again. He appears to them the first night of his resurrection in the upper room. He appears a second time 8 days later and shows his wounds to Thomas. And now here a third time on the shore, the Lord stands and he sees his disciples out in the boat. Simon Peter and six others fishing all night, and they catch nothing. We've been here before, haven't we? And Jesus, he hollers out from the shore, "Children, do you have any fish?" To the disciples, it's just another nosy passerby wanting to know the status of the lake. "No," they say. And then they hear this: "Cast your net on the right side of the boat, and you'll catch some." They've been here before too, haven't they? And so they do. They cast their net into the water just a few feet the other way, and now they were not able to haul it in because of the quantity of fish. And one of the disciples in the boat, he sees what's happening, and he believes. He says to Peter, "It's the Lord, Peter! It's the Lord!" And Peter, without even thinking, like he usually does, he throws himself into the water, and he starts swimming frantically to the shore. He would have walked or ran on top of the water if he could, but he's tried that before, and it didn't go very well for him. So all the disciples, they follow suit in the boat, and they're dragging the net full of fish, 153 of them, and they all get onto the land, and it's Jesus. It's the Lord. It's really him. He's got a charcoal fire in place. He's got fish laid on top of it and some bread there provided. And he says, "Bring me some of the fish that you have just caught." So Simon Peter, he immediately goes to the boat, and he drags that net filled with 153 fish, and he plops it down at the feet of Jesus. You see the tension. You can see it building in the story if you've heard it for the first time. Like, what's the Lord going to do? There's so many things happening all at once that have happened before, and great things have taken place, like, for instance, the miraculous catch of fish. Last time that happened, Jesus said to these disciples, "Follow me." And it began the craziest 3 years of their life. What's he going to do now? And then you have the fish and the bread. The last time Jesus had fish and bread, he fed thousands of people. You get the feeling, what's going to happen now? What's the Lord going to do? Something powerful is about to happen. This great culminating thing is about to take place. What's the Lord up to? And then Jesus speaks and he says, "Come, let's have some breakfast." That's it? Breakfast? That's it? Like, no miracle is going to happen here? Nothing that will wow generations to come? That this whole thing, all the Lord came to do was to make me some pancakes? Just breakfast. Can kind of leave you desiring for more as you read the story. I don't know, like something more. Something. Feed millions of people this time. Do something more. We crave more, more pomp, more circumstance, more. Just wow me, Jesus, with something more. Do something greater. The little things like just breakfast aren't enough for a wandering, restless heart, always craving for more. See, but when we desire more than what the Lord comes to give, we end up discontent with the things our Lord has given. Look at all the ways Jesus is giving to his disciples here, almost behind the scenes. He gives them fish in their net. He tells them to cast the net. the other side of the boat. He gives them a meal. He's setting a charcoal fire. He's got fish and bread for them. He's revealing himself to them on the shore. The Lord's providing. He's giving through all of his actions, giving to the disciples what they need to support their body and soul, their daily bread. He's giving and giving and giving. He provides. And for the disciples, it's enough. Rejoicing in the simple gifts that Jesus has come to give them, even if it's just breakfast. The Lord provides you, too, with every good gift. As we say in the Catechism, he gives you your life. He's given you your body and soul, your eyes and ears, your reason and all your senses, and he still takes care of them. He gives you clothing and shoes, food and drink, house and home, a spouse, children, and all that you have, and he richly and daily provides for all that you need. Is it enough? He's the great provider. Everything that you have is a gift from him. He is ever faithful, always giving. Do we want more? In this story, we're given a picture of the more. We're given a picture of something greater, a picture of the greatest gift that the Lord could ever possibly give to us. The gift of salvation in his son. And to see it, I want to direct your eyes to these 153 fish in the net. See, there's a fascinating word here in the Greek that describes the net that all the fish are in. It's helko is the Greek. Helko. It's how the disciples carry the net. They helko it. They haul it. It's translated as haul. Verse 6, they cast the net, and now they were not able to haul it in because of the quantity of fish. In verse 11, again, Simon Peter went aboard, and he hauled the net ashore. Helko. Full of large fish, 153 of them. The fish have to be hauled in. Now, this word, helko, it's not like to carry something simply over to someone else or to take something up and to merely lift it and bring it. Or it's not a soft or easy word, helko. We see it in Acts 16 when Paul and Silas are proclaiming the gospel, and these owners, they hear it and they see that their hope of gain was gone, and they seize Paul and Silas and they drag them before the courts. They haul him. They helko them. Acts 21, Paul's proclaiming in Jerusalem, and all the cities stirred up, and the people run together, and they seized Paul, and they dragged him out of the temple. They helkoed him. They pulled him. They hauled him. You see, helko is a forceful word. It's to be hauled, to be pulled, to be dragged, kicking and screaming. James 2 says, 2 verse 6 says, are not the rich the ones who oppress you, the ones who what? Drag you into court, haul you, pull you in. Helko describes a way of being forced into something that you would have never chosen for yourself if it were up to you. If you want to see helko in action, this idea of forcibly pulling someone away, come with me next time I pick up my kids from the grandparents' house. That's helko, forcing them to the van. They fight like hecko to not go in that van. But you have to pull them there. You see, same way with me with watching Cardinals baseball. You got to pull me out of that stadium. People don't want to go to court to be sued. They have to be pulled in, dragged in, hauled in. Fish don't want to go into a net. They have to be hauled in, pulled in, because we'd rather just be left alone, swimming around where we want and the direction that we want, where we want, when we want to. But there's more to it than just this word helko. It's fascinating. Jesus, he uses the word twice. He says in John chapter 12, verse 32, when talking about his crucifixion, he says, when I'm lifted up from the earth, I will draw all people to myself, haul them, pull them, force them towards me. And he says it again in John chapter 6, verse 44, when he's talking about the bread of heaven. He says, no one can come to me unless what? The Father draws them in. Pulls, hauls, helicos them in. Don't you see that you're the fish in the net? The ones whom the disciples cast that net for. The net being this great message of salvation, the lifting up of the Son of God on the cross for the forgiveness of all of your sins, whom God raised from the dead. 3 days later, that net found you. While you were swimming around, minding your own business and your own sin and wickedness, searching after more, the Word of God caught you. And you were dragged to the Lord through the waters. Through holy baptism, you were plopped at His feet. See, the Christian life is never one that you would have chosen for yourself if it were up to you. The Father dragged you into it. As we say in the Catechism, I believe that I cannot by my own reason or strength believe in Jesus Christ my Lord or come to Him. But the Holy Spirit has helicoed me in. He's called me in, pulled me in. He's called me by the gospel, the Word of God, and enlightened me with His gifts. And He's sanctified and kept me in the true faith. You're the fish in the net. The Father has dragged you to Himself, kicking and screaming. Literally, some of you I've baptized and I've seen it. The Holy Spirit pulling you in. You see this word helco, it's extremely important, this idea, because it describes your relationship with Christ and how you've come to His care. He dragged you there. He pulled you there. And thanks be to God that He did. Through the waters of holy baptism, He makes you His child. And you have been drawn to the Lord. You're one of His, and you belong to Him. You're a fish in the net. And what do fish do once they're in a net? They fight like hecko to get out. They look for the emergency escape. You try to leave. You're swarming around, terrified of the journey. What is going on here? On the human side of things, we try to change the net. But you can't change the Lord's net. You can't change His word. It's the Lord's net. It's the Lord's haul. You cannot change it, and you've been caught along with all the other fish. So trust it. Trust the net, the word of God. And enjoy the ride, rejoicing in the simple gifts that the Lord gives to you. The simple ways that He provides for you. Day after day after day, He brings you to the shore and lays you at His feet. And there we see bread and fish, wine, His own body and blood given to us in the sacrament. He is the great provider, and He gives the forgiveness of sins, life everlasting, salvation in Him. It's the greatest gift He's ever given. Pulled you into, drugged you into, faithfully providing for all that we need. And for us, that's more than enough. Amen.